Section 8.1. Arch Enemies. Preface. Some battles are fought on famous and hallowed grounds with names known around the world. For some, the victor is he who has the most strength, the most armies, or the best equipment. But in other instances, it is he who endures till the end who comes out on top. As she sits at a worn oak table and writes by the light of a homemade candle, Miss Ida Tarbell searches for just the right words to condemn the monopolies in industry. America's first great female journalist works hard, which is consistent with her character, but look at her face. See the tenseness and concentration? What the readers of her sold-out articles don't know is the reason why she blasts the practices of only one man, John D. Rockefeller. As a muckraking journalist, she could easily attack any robber baron. Heaven knows there's enough corruption in big industry and politics at every turn. But anyone with a quick eye and sharp mind notices that only one multimillionaire is the object of her tirades. Why? It's a personal vendetta. Miss Tarbell's father had drilled for and found oil on their small Pennsylvania farm. But rather than getting rich, he soon found himself out of money, out of luck, and out of favor in his community. She thinks about this as she writes. Rockefeller owns the company that produces the machines that pump oil out of the ground. Rockefeller owns the railroad cars that transport the crude oil to the refineries. Rockefeller owns the refineries that change the crude oil into usable kerosene and gasoline. Rockefeller owns Standard Oil, the gas stations that sell the petroleum products to the public. You see, Rockefeller owns everything in the oil industry, from top to bottom and back again. The only way to break into this industry is to become one of his lackeys and work dirt cheap and get nowhere while watching him make another million. Her father tried and lost. He tried to pump the oil out of the ground. He tried to get others to buy it from him. But unless he sold out to Rockefeller, no one was willing to listen or help. He even went to the bank and took out a loan against the farm to get enough money to buy his own equipment. Within a month, Rockefeller owned the local bank and then foreclosed on her father's loan. Unable to pay because the money was tied up in equipment, her father had lost the family farm and all he owned. He died shortly thereafter, a broken and pitiful man. That was when Miss Tarbell decided that Mr. Rockefeller had an enemy. She may not be powerful with money, but she remembers reading as a child that the pen is mightier than the sword. So she decided to avenge her father's loss of material possessions and death by being like a mosquito or gnat to Mr. Rockefeller. She would buzz around his head and drive him insane. She would do her research, write articles, and boldly attack the man who had killed her father. Password A. Mr. Rockefeller is extremely upset on the inside, but no one will ever know. Emotion shows weakness, and he believes that a successful man never admits to any weakness. He doesn't know why this obnoxious woman keeps attacking him, but he does know that he hates her for it. He's angry to the point of taking radical action, just like he did when he moved his Standard Oil Company from Ohio to New Jersey. That was a radical move, but it worked. There's always a loophole, always a way out. It just takes a brilliant mind to find it. And he believes himself to have a more brilliant mind than this unknown woman from nowhere. Granted, she has made herself into his enemy. He almost laughs at that thought, that he is the enemy of some petty little witch. What a pain. He's used to people bowing down to him and doing as he says. What does she want? Why is she doing this to him? If the newspaper men come around tomorrow wanting some rebuttal or asking questions, he'll simply say what he always says, no comment. That policy worked for him during the indignity in 1880 with the Hepburn Committee. A social injustice only was what they discovered was his company's greatest fault. Ha! What rhetorical nonsense! Better to keep quiet and let others think you are a fool than open your mouth and prove it. Now that was a good quote he could live by. He must remember to pay its author royalties on it some day. If he only knew who it was. Well, to cover his tracks and turn the public's opinion of him to a different tone, he would find a select charity and make a donation. Nothing like free-flowing money to quiet his opponent's diatribes toward him and his company. Who says money can't buy happiness? Mr. Rockefeller is fully convinced of the power of his position, strength of his money, and comprehensiveness of his influence. A fleeting thought, though, bothers him. The British author, Edward Bulwer Lytton, whom he had read, had noted that beneath the rule of men entirely great, the pen is mightier than the sword. He considers himself entirely great. And where does that leave Miss Tarbell and her pen? Password 14.